From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 14th day of November 2019. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker at Waco, Texas, and Zwicker Consulting. Matt Bennett is here from agmarket.net, and we'll take a look at the cash grain market with him. And Ted McKinney, Undersecretary at the USDA for Trade, will discuss trade, China, Japan, a poultry sale, and wheat exports with us during this half-hour program right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. For a Thursday afternoon, find us online at willag.org, willag.org. Well, no update of the commodity market numbers as I am at NAFB in Chicago and talking to Dan Zwicker today a bit early over the noon hour. Dan, thanks for taking time out early with me. I hear that you've traveled back from the farm in Illinois to Waco, Texas. I hope you made it safely.
Well, I'm glad to be back in a warmer cold. It's still chilly, but it's 50 degrees down here compared to what the week started out with up in Illinois at down to 3 degrees. So I am happy to be back into at least warmer weather. It's still chilly, but it is warmer weather anyway.
Well, on that note, how far along were the farmers in your part of Illinois, that northwestern corner, when you left?
Well, most of the beans are in, are being harvested. I saw maybe one or two bean fields. Corn, there's still some corn to be harvested, but you can see that they're slowly, grinding away at it. I think the snow that we got there early in the week probably stopped it here for a few days, and everybody's going to wait for it to warm up, I guess, until the snow melts a little bit. We didn't get that much snow, but I think it was enough to maybe stop everybody at least for a day or two. But for the most part, it looks like, things should get wrapped up, by Thanksgiving. The old, I guess, harvest completion date was, mid to late November. And that's kind of what it looks like today, anyway, at least in northwestern Illinois.
Well, through the time of our recording in Chicago, about the noon hour, trade had been quiet in Chicago. What's your assessment of the marketplace?
Well, corn's trying to make a stand here. You look at the technical charts, it's trying to make a stand. A lot of your indicators went down to what we call as oversold technical levels. And then we got some technical signals that corn is on the verge of maybe possibly giving us a buy signal, but it's just not quite there yet. But I do like what corn's trying to do, at least technically, is trying to hold that support area that we had during the last half of September. And if the technical indicators are any indication, that we should see a December rally in here. And I'm thinking that it may get started maybe before the end of the month or the start of the month. But I think there's hope for recovery on corn. When you go over and take a look at the soybean market, probably not so much. It continues to kind of, we had a good decline there earlier in the week. And since then, we've been trying to stabilize. Again, the technical indicators are what we call as deeply oversold and in position to be a supportive influence. When you look at the January chart, I suppose I'm just eyeballing it. I'm saying that we're probably at a 50% retracement level, off of that late August, early September low. And now we've come back to about halfway. Most of your technical indicators are oversold. So we should try to find support here and maybe try to put together a rally. But, what's slowing it down, this market from actually really turning up, we still have harvest pressure. And as I indicated last week, spot sales during harvest are the biggest buyer for the grain elevator. There's just a lot of grain even in today's age, comes across the scale and sold. So we're still getting some of that. I think, you know, I know I got a brother that works for an ethanol plant up in Wisconsin, and those farmers are having problems with wet corn. You know, it's late corn. I think a lot of it was June planted. So they got problems with wet corn. So I imagine a lot of the corn that we have right now is wet, and farmers are probably, quality-wise, they just soon part with it rather than try to store it on their own. So, you know, we are getting some movement. It's not a great deal of movement, but I think we're getting enough movement to just kind of keep everything under wraps until we get a little further down the road on harvest, the harvest completion date anyway.
Well, if corn is making a stand, as you say, are you expecting a lift in the marketplace prior to the end of the year?
Well, my guess is that poor quality corn, or farmers that think, you know, is not good corn to store, I'm sure they're going to want to move that out into the marketplace one way or the other. Either they'll, you know, sell it on the cash market, they'll maybe write a basis contract, they'll do DP contract. They're going to want to kind of move that. I don't think farmers are going to want to store corn that doesn't have the highest quality in the world. So that's going to move into the pipeline. And like I said, that's going to just, you know, keep the market from posting a major rally, but that doesn't mean that the market can't rally. And a lot of times when we get that hedge pressure out of the way, that kind of leaves the market then a void of hedge pressure when it does rally. So then you end up usually with a better, a little stronger type rally. But, you know, there's just no, I mean, the crop is shorter than what we thought it was going to be a year ago, but we still have a lot of grain around. And I do know the yields are below last year, but I do think for the most part, the yields are better than what a lot of farmers thought it was going to be back in June and July and August. I was surprised. I did ride a combine while I was up in Illinois on our home farm. Yes, it's down significantly from last year, but it was still pumping out 240 bushels of corn, and it was mudded in May. And it was a wet because it's flat, and it had too much moisture, but it's down significantly from the last 2 years, but still is better than what I thought it was when I drove up to Illinois back in June. I said, man, we'll be lucky to get 160 bushel out of this stuff, and it was clipping along at 240, sitting on a experimental automatic, fully automatic John Deere combine. I do think that Innis by South told me that If that farm was pumping out 240 bushels per acre, that there's probably a lot of that going on in the Corn Belt. And that's probably one of the reasons, too, why the corn market is having a hard time finding a bottom or trying to find a base to rally off of, is that the yields, for the most part, are better than what a lot of guys thought. Now, not everybody, so I ain't going to say everybody, but And the market reflects that. I mean, there are no secrets in the market. The market knows everything. It's just a matter of, how it gets its information, but it knows everything. And I think that kind of explains why the market hasn't done too much. But the main problem we have with corn and even with soybeans is we just don't have the demand push that we would like to have in the export market. I do know that China bought some beans overnight or the last couple of days, and it was reported on that requirement that exporters have to report sales this morning. Now, we'll get our weekly sales numbers, I guess, tomorrow morning, since Veterans Day postponed everything. But we're still lacking export demand is the key here. And until we can kind of get that export demand at least showing up to be a little stronger, we're just going to struggle. But I do know domestic demand's good. Just about everybody that's selling corn is trying to find an ethanol plant to sell it to because they're the best bidder in town. So there is people moving corn into the ethanol plants.
Hey, thanks, Dan.
Okay, very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting in Waco, Texas.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, we're here at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention, and Ted McKinney is here. He is an undersecretary at the United States Department of Agriculture, responsible for trade. Let's ask him about China.
This morning, Beijing announced that all U.S. poultry now has access to China. And this includes duck, like we have in Indiana, turkey, layers, egg, and egg products. So that's very, very good news. They had completed their process, I don't know when, but this was the time when they announced it. Just as a week ago, we announced that cooked poultry, not raw, only cooked poultry, could come from China to the U.S. So I like that because it means we're warming. The warming trend continues, as I like to say, and maybe we can get to an eventual signing of a Phase 1 agreement.
Yeah, so we're walking grain off the farm, which is always more profitable.
That's correct. Yeah, you know, China's an interesting. Everybody knows that there were a lot of negotiations going on, and then they withdrew, backslid on a number of things. But the warming trend has continued, and discussions have been going on by digital video conference. Most people do not hear or know about those. This Friday, I understand that Ambassador Lighthizer and Secretary of Treasury Mnuchin are to speak with Vice Premier Liu He, a very honorable guy, leading the negotiations on the China side. So who knows what will come from that, but I'm at least encouraged that the warming trend is continuing. We've got a number of things lined up to sell if they will agree to it, but we also have to have some structural changes. You know, we've been led down this primrose path many times before, only to see promises fizzle. And so unless there is some enforcement opportunity, and unless there are some changes, even modest changes in structural, how they apply things, like please approve biotech traits at a time sooner than 8 years, those kinds of things are very, very important and must-haves. So we'll see, but I remain optimistic. I'm better than 50% that we'll get to a signed agreement, and both presidents say they want to, so let's hope that it gets there.
Well, farmers are very hopeful and have been for 18 months, so we're working on that.
Right,
USDA is
right.
Working on that. There are some other announcements about trade with other nations.
Yes. Well, I think most people know that Brazil is both a friend. We're very aligned on our acceptance of technology, things like biotechnology traits, gene editing, so many other things. But there have also been real boogers on other things, and I think some of those problems are getting solved in that today they announced that they are going to honor a commitment made 20 years ago. It's been 20 years. It's okay. At least they're going to do it. And that is for access to the Brazilian market for 175,000 metric tons of wheat. Now, that's not all ours. We have to compete with everybody around the world except Mercosur. That's only for us. But we're close. We have great quality. We have great diversity. And I think we ought to enjoy some benefits of that newly opened tariff rate quota or allotment. So I'll take that as good news too.
So you're from Indiana. Tell me about your work at USDA in Washington, D.C. and what the most surprising thing you've learned over the last couple of years in the Trump administration might have been as it relates to trade.
Well, trade around the world is the wild woolly west. I oftentimes say yippee-ki-yay because that's very much what it's like. On a serious note, trade is not easy. People have habits, people have laws, countries have laws, regs, and there is a lot of protectionism around the world. And so anybody who thought that in a few months we could go single-handedly straighten out problems that have been created over years, even decades, that's probably folly. That was probably a misjudgment. I didn't think that, but I had hopes that would not take as long as it has. That said, we are out there. I've been to 25 countries, some of them twice, a couple of them three times, and one four times. And when you're belly to belly or eye to eye, you get things done, or at least you have a greater opportunity to. And when you go back the second or third time, they know you really mean business. So I think the long-term trend is more positive. We are straightening these things out slowly but surely, one at a time. We're getting to markets we've never been to before. Now, that is not to say we're going to take for granted our beloved friends in Canada and Mexico, our friends in China, Japan, Korea. No. We're going to keep working those aggressively. But so, too, we now have taken the time to go to other countries, Vietnam, Indonesia, Malaysia, Philippines, Thailand, countries in Central and South America that we knew and traded with, but not substantially. And so if we can keep working those, keep spending those air miles, I hold out promise that we'll continue to grow other markets as well, and we've got to diversify our portfolio.
Following up on that note, USMCA is in the works. It looks like the Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, wants to get this done. Of course, the President would like to get it done as well. Will it be completed before December is finished?
Wow, that's a huge question. I, too, read and hear good things. We know that USTR and the Democratic Committee assigned by Speaker Pelosi are working in good faith and are making progress. I believe that, and that's very good news. This is our opportunity. So we've got to get the legislation pulled to the Hill, and that starts with Speaker Pelosi making the request. I hold out positive. It looks positive. It sounds positive. There's progress. But until that legislation goes to the Hill, I have to be a little more skeptical.
That's USDA Undersecretary for Trade Ted McKinney. I spoke with him earlier today at the National Association of Farm Broadcasting Convention in Kansas City, Missouri. Mike Tenora is now here. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago. Mike, I want you to concentrate on South America. They've needed some rainfall, gotten a little bit. Are they going to get wet?
Well, there's quite a bit of rain in the forecast in Argentina and in central Brazil. In central Brazil, we're going to see the remnant of a cool front produce thunderstorms several times over the next 10 to 14 days. So we've been pretty dry in that area, but it's going to start turning wetter as we move into the end of the month. In Argentina, we have a slightly different setup, but a number of cool fronts and small waves of energy are going to move through. Each of those will also produce thunderstorm clusters, and we do need to see rain in all of South America. About 75% of soybean production in Argentina was drier than normal over the last 90 days, and it's a similar proportion in Brazil. So that's a lot of soybeans to be experiencing agricultural drought, especially when you consider the large expanse that it includes from all the way in the Amazon region in the part of northern Brazil, stretching all the way south into Argentina. That's a big stretch of land to have it all being drier than normal. So this is something that is going to help out for sure, but we're going to need to see more rains follow up later on in December. We also need to point out that the region between there, around Paraguay, which also includes some of the key areas of southern Brazil, they're not going to see very much, if any, rainfall over the next 7 to 10 days. That's unusual because normally we would see 2.5 to 3.5 inches over the next couple of weeks. So it is going to be drying out there, though they've had a little bit of rain over the last several days. So all in all, we're still in this waiting game to see how everything unfolds. But basically, we're just going to have to sit around and see how everything works out while recognizing that a drought is in place.
Mike Tenora is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois.
Since 1985, Stuart Peterson has offered strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at stuart-peterson.com.
Well, on this Thursday, we're joined, as usual, by Matt Bennett from AgMarket.net. Hey, Matt, thanks for being with us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Todd.
So tell me a little bit about the marketplace as you see it and where you think farmers should be positioning themselves given the snow, the lateness, the cold.
You know, the interesting thing, as you know, basis has just been crazy. ADM Decatur this week's 20 cents over the board. And free drying to 19%. I mean, that's the first time I ever remember something like that happening. So you know, that's something that a producer needs to pay attention to. What's the market trying to say? Well, they want the corn right now. I understand that. And so there's two different things, though, you know. I want to fill our bins, first of all. Why? Because I feel like the cash owner is going to be king again, and I think you'll be able to set your price in some ways on down the road. But if you're hauling into the elevator, what do you do? I think the elevator, if there's, first of all, I want to call a couple of different elevators first and just say, how bad do you want my corn? Because I know they want it pretty bad. You and I both know that. And so, you know, I want to find out who wants my corn the most, and then I want to sell it across the scale. Now, whether a producer wants to stay long or not, it's totally up to them. But if they do want to, the life's just been sucked out of these options. I mean, it's cheaper than dirt to own an at-the-money call. I mean, it's less than half the cost of storage to get it out to the month of March. And so, you know, a lot of producers are doing that. I like that strategy. But essentially what I'm saying is I want to spread my risk out. The bushels in the bin at home, do I want to lock the basis in on those? Heck no. That cash corn could be worth gold. And so I want to go ahead and let that ride. That's going to kind of be my spec, if you will. And the bushels hauled in across the scale, yeah, I want to go ahead and sell them. Reward the market for doing the job the market's been trying to do.
How about for soybeans?
You know, with soybeans, the nice thing, basis improves so much. I was just looking yesterday. The river has improved 60 cents in the last 6 weeks at St. Louis. That's unbelievable. That's something that you don't see very often. And so the basis on soybeans was pathetic coming into harvest. You and I both know that. And we were telling producers to store, even commercially. And you know I'm not a huge fan of commercial storage. But the nice thing is, the basis has already paid for their storage out to next spring. And so basis has really done its work here. What do you want to do at this point, though, if you've got late beans? The basis has improved enough that I want to go ahead and get those beans sold. Am I bearish necessarily? No. I'm sick and tired of talking about the U.S.-Chinese thing, but I don't think anything's going to happen there. And if nothing happens there, the path of least resistance is probably going to be lower as long as Brazil and Argentina continue to have good weather like they're having right now.
So that was my next question about that area, but let's bring it to corn and see how you think. Because a lot of people will try to hold corn into next summer, and how you see that playing out in the bin.
You know, how I see it playing out in the bin, here's the thing. I want to talk to my originators right now and tell them, look, this is how much corn I've got. This is what I want for. You know, and you might feel like an idiot asking for a 40-over basis. I understand that. But at the same time, that guy knows what you're looking for, all right? And is he going to be, or is she going to be able to come at you with the price that you want today? Maybe not. But if they know what you're looking for, you might be able to get it on down the road. I want to have a fluid conversation with them as we go through the year. I want to reward the market, though, on any sort of strength that I see incrementally. I don't want to have all my eggs in one basket. I don't want all my stored corn at home to ride until next summer. I got to be very cautious about that kind of strategy because that could backfire on me dramatically. And so, you know, I want to reward the market incrementally. I think anytime you sell incrementally and make sales that are profitable, if the first sale is profitable, you're going to have a pretty good year.
Hey, thanks so much.
Yeah, thank you.
That's Matt Bennett. He is with AgMarket.net. Join us here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us, listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org.